This episode of the Best of 7 Sports Talk is sponsored by The Reflection Connection. For all your natural health care products, go to The Reflection Connection. That's connection with a K. All right, NBA fans, enjoy the show.
T7M Radio brings to you the Best of 7 Sports Talk with 7 Mitchell.
All right, man, live and in full effect. Shout out to the NBA community. We are back at it with the Best of 7 Sports Talk. I'm your host, as always, 7 Mitchell, man. Appreciate you guys locking in and joining us on this Saturday afternoon. Y'all already know how we coming when it comes to the association. Join with me this afternoon. I know y'all familiar with my brother. We've seen him a couple of times here on this platform. My brother, JJ Peters from Sports Town, is in the building. JJ, what's up, brother?
Not much. Having a pretty good day. It's Saturday. Can't wait to get started. It was what a night last night for sure. So,
you know, I had to hold you to your word, brother. But, you know, the last time it's been a minute, and you said you was going to come and visit once the season starts. So, you know, we got a handful of games started. We got an in-season tournament that's been implemented. So I had to get you on the show just to chop it up with me for a few minutes to talk about what we've been witnessing. So I do, again, appreciate you so much for joining me this afternoon, fam.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks again for having me on. I can't wait to get started. And it was a pretty eventful night last night for sure. And ready to talk some hoops.
Let's get into it, man. Let's start things off. We're going to start off with, of course, the in-season tournament. Day one went down last night. Now, just generally, JJ, what was some of your biggest takeaways from day one of this tournament?
Well, number one, right away when I started watching last night, the courts definitely was a little different, kind of caught me. I wasn't sure if I liked it at first, but then I saw Miami and Chicago's red. That was pretty nice.
Grew on you. Yeah, some of them are hot. Yes.
Yeah. But anyways, that was pretty cool. I didn't expect that to happen. Number two is, watching Denver and Dallas last night, especially, the Nuggets are just so good right now. It's going to be hard for any team to compete with them. I think I did see a few people thought Golden State was pretty good. I watched a little bit of that. I just don't know if anybody can really compete with Denver at the moment, but definitely how good the Nuggets are. The Mavs aren't bad, but I think right now it's just going to be hard for any team to beat Denver. And then that was kind of what I really took away from yesterday. It's pretty early, but I mean, the courts, Denver being pretty good. And of course, that thing with Golden State and Oklahoma City at the end, I didn't really necessarily agree with the call, but at the same time, I didn't think OKC was going to beat Golden State if they win overtime. So
that was that was such a good game. And we got a couple good finishes last night. I think it was like two or three, you know, close finishes in the in-season tournament. I mean, like you said, the basketball courts, what they put out as far as visuals was definitely exciting. I think it still brought a level of confusion from the fans as well as the players, because we still don't really understand this format, like the relevancy of it and the importance of it. What I took away from it last night, though, was, you know, guys were still locked in. They didn't. I was hoping that they didn't go outside of their strategy in this regular season to appease this in-season tournament because of the confusion. I didn't want people to do more than what was expected on the general day-to-day, trying to appease the fan base for this in-season tournament. So I like how guys overall was locked in. We got a lot of good games in game one. I'm not sure if it was Tyrese Halliburton, JJ, that said this, but he was saying that the winner of this tournament should get like an automatic bid into the playoffs, more or less than receiving money. What's your thought about the actual prize overall? Would you like to see a team get an automatic playoff bid by winning this tournament instead of winning prize money?
Well, I think I did hear that there was reports that they wanted to possibly give the team an automatic bid. However, I understand why the NBA and why the league decided not to go that route, because number one is, I think teams wouldn't try as hard in the regular season. I know they'd have to get a specific seed, But imagine if a team did win and ended up getting a bunch of injuries and then just really kind of coasted down toward the end of the year and then had a losing record and made the playoffs. I can see why they didn't go that route. I think players would try a little harder, but at the same time, I mean, I understand why they didn't go that route, because again, injuries can happen. Teams won't have to try as hard because they're already in the playoffs. I know the matchup is different, but I can understand why they didn't go that route. It would have been interesting to see if they would have done that, and they might end up doing that in the future. It just depends on how this season goes, but I can see why they didn't go that route.
When you think about it, now that we have the play-in tournament, that actually allows an extra opportunity for you to make the playoffs. So it's not like the players are not getting extra chances to win the championship. So they've already kind of given you an alley-oop as far as extra opportunities to, you know, play in the postseason. However, you know, this prize money, we're talking about a bunch of millionaires playing this game. You know what I'm saying? On a day-to-day, like, I don't think this prize money is going to make or break them. Like, of course they'll take it, but I would like to have more value, more significance to this tournament if you're going to have it. And then it's like you're having a tournament after the first five games of the season. That was another concern that I have. Like, why are you doing this actually so early? But it seems to be working right now. I know last night we had seven games on deck for day one. The Pacers knocked off the Cavs. The Bucks had a big comeback win, an important win versus the New York Knicks. The Heat knocked off the Wizards last night. The Nets beat the Chicago Bulls. The Warriors with that impressive win versus the Thunder. Denver knocked off Dallas, as you said, JJ. And the Trailblazers knocked off the Memphis Grizzlies. I want to talk about the Grizzlies a little bit later on in the show. But, yeah, man, I'm just excited just to get basketball back overall. But I still feel like there's still a level of confusion with the fans as well as the players of what's the reason for this in-season tournament and, you know, what value and significance is it going to hold at the end of the day.
Yeah, and you mentioned a little bit with, you know, the tournament was a little too early. I agree with you because I think it's more of not really a mid-season tournament. I think it's more of an early season tournament. And I think it was a great idea to get this tournament because they've been talking about this for years. But I think They should have done it like in February or March. Now, I know there's the All-Star game in February. You have all those events. You can't really get rid of the All-Star game, but it'd be nice to see just like an entire month of in-season tournament, like February, to where it's literally a mid-season tournament after like that 42nd game. But yeah, I understand. I understand too why they went that route of early season, just because they want to get the fans more involved. And it seems like the last few years, the early portion of the season, not really many people pay attention to. So I understand why they went that route, but I would have liked to see it like in February or March. And I know you don't want to get rid of the All-Star game, but it would have been nice just to kind of have that in February or March, have a selection, you make the All-Star game, but then you have the in-season tournament. But again, I mean, it's the first year. We could see them go a different route next year and the year after that. So
now I will say two names that have been talked about, you know, as far as the beginning of this season, and I project to do pretty well in this in-season tournament. We're talking about potential rookie of the year candidates in Victor Wembanyama and Chet Holmgren. I want to talk to you for a second about Victor and Chet overall, just generally and basically, what's your thoughts on each of those players as far as the sample size of basketball that you've seen from those two? What's your impression on those guys?
Well, we'll first start off with Wemby. He's been really good. Now, that first game, he was in foul trouble, but he still, had 15 points or something like that. Mm-hmm. They've beaten the Suns twice in back-to-back games, which back is impressive. Impressive, especially at Phoenix, which I thought was, again, impressive. Wemby is looking like the real deal. I don't know if he'll get selected the All-Star game this year because I was hearing some reports on that, but I just don't know if a rookie can make it. But he has been very impressive, and it's almost impossible for someone to go up against him or even play or even go up in defense. Like, his wingspan is, 8 feet? So it'd probably
be crazy.
He's looking like the real deal. Now, Chet Holmgren is looking pretty good, too. I thought last year he didn't play, but before last year, starting before his injury, I thought he could be a potential rookie of the year. But what, he had like 24 points last night. I'm looking, 24 points. So he was impressive as well. But, I mean, these two players, they're going to be good for the next few years, as long as they can stay healthy, which I don't think should be a problem. But they'll definitely be the face of the league in probably, what, 2-3 years. And maybe already Wemby is the face of the league. But, I mean, it's just been impressive to watch those two play.
People will argue that Chet Holmgren, at least right now, excuse me, has a better supporting cast. But he's also playing tougher competition right now. You know, everybody will get to eventually play each other. But what I witnessed with Victor, what he did versus Kevin Durant and the Phoenix Suns in back-to-back games, like, it was just total dominance. And he pretty much been showing that consistency level for this handful of games that we have seen so far. I've been very up on Victor Wembanyama. Even in the offseason, I projected him to lead the San Antonio team to the play-in tournament. I really feel like if things go well for the San Antonio Spurs, if they play their cards right, I think Victor can give them guys an opportunity to get some playoff games going. And, you know, I'm really impressed with what I'm seeing from him. Of course, we got to deal with the size, and I think defenses will eventually start banging on him because it's so early. They're going to pretty much bring that physicality to him eventually. So it's going to be interesting to see how he adjusts to that. But I don't see why he wouldn't be an all-star this season at the five position if things keep going the way they are. And, you know, rookie of the year, he's just so polarizing, bro. Like, Chet Holmgren is definitely a great player. He got a good, again, a good supporting cast. OKC may go further than San Antonio initially. But Wembanyama is box office. So I think that's where it's going to separate as far as levels. I'm really liking both guys. But to me, Victor overall has been the most impressive in my eyes.
Yeah, he has been, and he's been pretty much everything that people have hyped him up to be. As long as he can stay healthy, which I don't think he has an injury or a history of injuries, which is nice to see, but as long as he can stay healthy, he's going to be hard to play against. And of course, you know, the Spurs have had the history of big men, Tim Duncan, David Robinson, now goes to Wemby. He finally gives the Spurs something to, you know, cheer about, because the last few years have been kind of rough for the Spurs, and to bring in a guy like Wemby, I mean, yeah, you're right. I think they could make the playoffs. At first, before the year, I didn't think they could. But what I've been seeing lately, they could get definitely make the postseason.
At least the play-in tournament, you know, giving themselves a chance to win. Now, you talked about David Robinson and Tim Duncan. We know those guys were led by Greg Popovich. But what are your thoughts on Greg Popovich in today's game? Because I am from the thought that we're not going to see the greatest of Victor Wembanyama until Greg Popovich leaves. I feel like his style of coaching is a little bit too old school for this new era of basketball. And, you know, you've watched the San Antonio Spurs the last few years, JJ. They've had a bunch of young guys, and they haven't been successful. And they haven't had the best talent. But part of the reason, I think, is because of that old school style coaching of Greg Popovich. And I feel like once he gets out the way, we'll definitely see the greatest of Victor Wembanyama. But you know, do you think that chemistry or that combination of Greg Popovich will work in its first year with Wemby?
I mean, if they make the playoffs, I think that's a success. I could possibly sing, but the thing with Pop, I don't know if he'll actually, it doesn't seem like he's in too much of a hurry to leave. I think he was just extended before the year started, if I can remember right. And I think as long as Wemby is healthy and he's there, I think he's going to be there the next few years. It would be fascinating to see what he would do without Pop, but I don't know about that. That's debatable. But I mean, Pop does have an older type of coaching. I don't know. I think it'd be too hard to tell right now. But I mean, it just, I could see the, you know, the Spurs have been young lately the last few years with guys like Devin Vassell, Keldon Johnson, Shohan. I think this team will make the playoffs, but I just don't know if we could really, I think that will be in a few years till we can actually see what he would do without Pop, because I don't think Pop is in a hurry. And I wouldn't be surprised if Greg Popovich decided, once he decides to step down from coaching, I think he still would be the president of basketball operations. So I can't really see him in too much of a hurry to leave, especially right now. So
it's going to be interesting. When you talk about individual careers, who do you project to have the better career overall, Chet or Victor?
I think right now, Victor. Chet Holmgren, though, I think he's going to be pretty good, but I think he's going to have a little more. I think he's going to have some more injuries than Wimby. It seems like Wimby, as I was mentioning earlier, he doesn't seem like he has a lot of injury history. I think we saw that with Holmgren last year. I think at the moment, I'm going to just stick with Victor. I just think Wimby right now is going to have the better career. And it, like I said, I think it all comes down to health. And I think it seems like Wimby is a lot more healthier than Holmgren.
See, I don't know what those players look like in France. I don't know what type of competition Wembanyama was playing with before, because you're right. He doesn't have a documented history, I don't believe, of being injury prone. Mm-hmm. But the physicality of the game in the NBA could have been totally – and I think he even admitted that, you know, when they asked him what was his first takeaway from being in his first NBA game, and he mentioned the physicality of it. So even though he doesn't have a history of injuries, I think that could be partially because he's not facing any competition and rough as tough as what we have in the NBA. So, you know, the jury probably will still be out on that category until maybe midseason, you know, to see how he adapts and adjusts to, you know, the aggressive play that the defenses are going to be bringing to him. Can you see a rivalry? Like, you have Magic versus Bird. We have, you know, or Jordan versus Magic, or LeBron versus KD, and all these rivalries over the years. Could you see a Victor Wembanyama versus Chet Holmgren type of rivalry as two of the young faces of the league coming up? Could you see a real rivalry between those two being generated?
I could maybe see something. I think the rivalry, I think, kind of hurts it because both are in the Western Conference. Mm-hmm. And if Chet Holmgren or Victor was in the East or the West, I think that would be more of a rivalry. It doesn't seem like in today's day there's as much of a rivalry as there was back in the day. Even like 10 years ago, I feel like there was more rivalries.
For sure.
I could see something, but I just feel like right now, or at least in the future, we're probably not going to see those rivalries like we did. And I think it kind of hurts it because they both play in the Western Conference. So I could see a little something, but I don't think I could see a rivalry like LeBron versus Durant, or Magic versus, you know, Magic versus Bird, or MJ versus the Pistons, or MJ versus Isaiah. So I don't know if I could see a rivalry like that. I could see something, but I'm going to say probably no.
I agree with you, bro. I think when we have conversations about comparing the future of the league, I think we'll have both of these guys named mentioned in a lot of the same conversations. Mm-hmm. But as far as rivalry, probably not, because Victor is on another level, even in the media. He's box office. So he, you know, Chet is not that outspoken. Not to say Victor is outspoken, but I don't know how much they're going to put the camera in front of Chet Holmgren for him to even be on that type of level. The camera is always going to be on Victor all 82 games. You understand what I'm saying? So I think it's definitely going to be levels, but their names will be mentioned in similar conversations when we talk about faces that's going to be carrying the league. So, you know, I'm impressed with both of those guys. What is the biggest concern, JJ, that you probably have for Chet Holmgren and Victor Wembanyama overall? What would you say is the biggest concern or your cause to pause with these guys?
Well, I think with the problem with Chet is, I've already kind of mentioned, the injury history is going to be a big problem for Holmgren. Right. It seems like at the moment he seems like he's healthy, but I think the health is going to be a huge concern for Chet and the Thunder. It also depends on how the Thunder can handle it. Now, the nice part about OKC, if they have a little better of a team than San Antonio, they have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, as long as he can stay healthy as well. I know he's been banged up recently, but I feel like Chet injuries is definitely a concern. For Victor, he just doesn't seem like he has. It doesn't seem like he has much really weaknesses at the moment. I do think possibly playing his supporting cast isn't as good, but right now with Wimby, I don't know if there is much concern, but he is a rookie. He's got a lot left to go. I'm going to say on Chet's part, health. And I don't really know if there's much of a concern right now with Wimby. I don't know if he has a lot of weaknesses at the moment. So,
yeah. How far do you think each one of these individuals can take their respected team as an independent? Like, do you look at Victor Wembanyama as a guy that could put San Antonio on his back and really take them places? Do you look at Chet Holmgren, even though, of course, you got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and a couple other guys over there, but when you look at these guys as individual, how much of a value do you think they have on their respective teams?
I think Wimby has a better chance of leading his team and carrying them on his back, because it seems like right now Holmgren is the number two to Gilgeous-Alexander, and I doubt the Thunder would give up Shai for really anything at the moment. I think right now, I think probably the Spurs will get, if they make the playoffs, they'll probably get beat in the first round. But I think within 2 to 3 years, I could see the Spurs, this is kind of a stretch, but I could see the Spurs making the conference finals and Wimby carrying him on his back. For Chet or for Holmgren, I think, again, that team is always going to be led by Shai as long as he's there. But I could see him possibly making the semifinals. But I think right now, I think I'm more confident in Wimby to lead them to the conference finals and eventually to the NBA finals in a few years. That might be kind of a stretch at the moment, but I think I trust Wimby more to carry the Spurs on his back than Holmgren to carry the Thunder on his back.
Yeah, I agree. And that's not even to say that OKC won't have any success, but, you know, I'm willing to believe that if they are successful moving on to the second round or maybe even the Western Conference Finals for whatever reason, it won't be solely because of Chet Holmgren. It'll definitely be a collective at least. So, yeah, I agree with you on that most definitely. But both of those guys are doing the thing in the league, seems to be in good hands so far when you got guys like that as far as projection. So shout out to Chet Holmgren and Victor Wembanyama, man. This is the Best of Seven Sports Talk. Seven Mitchell in the building. We got JJ Peters from the Sports Town Network. Guys, if you guys are new to this channel, make sure you subscribe. Become a member today. We got exclusive perks, prizes, giveaways, and content on the channel. So join the membership if you guys would like to support the network. If you guys enjoyed this video so far, make sure you do us a huge favor and smash that like button. We're about to get into our next topic of today's live stream. JJ, before we do that, just give the people a heads up on what you got going on your platform and where they can follow you and all that other good stuff, bro.
Yeah, just check me out at Sports Town or Sports Town Network. You can check me out on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, X. You can also, I have a website as well, sportstownnetwork.com. You can check out, I have merchandise, this hat I'm wearing, this jacket I'm wearing. You can actually get that on the website. I write blogs or articles, whatever you want to call them. I write at least twice, usually two or three times a week. You can check that out. I think it's sportstownnetwork.com/blog. You can also go to the merchandise, sportstownnetwork.com/merch. But again, pretty much wherever you get your socials, you can also check out the podcast, Sports Town Podcast. You can get whatever you listen to, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, stuff like that. But that's how you can get me. Don't forget to check me out. I'm usually making videos, usually about once a day. So,
yeah, man, my man JJ, he's been doing his thing. I'm a big fan of his. He got that daily content for you guys. So if you guys enjoy daily content for sports, make sure you check out Sports Town. And my guy, JJ Peters, man, this is the Best of Seven Sports Talk. Seven Mitchell in the building. We're about to get into the next topic of discussion, man. Let's take it to L.A. real quick, man. We're going to stay in the L.A. for a couple topics, but let's stay on the Clippers side to start things off. Let's talk about the homie James Harden, the new L.A. Clipper. What was your reaction, JJ, to James Harden, the bad guy, so to speak, actually getting his way? Because I knew that he was going to get traded. Mm-hmm. But for Daryl Morey to send him where he wanted to go after violating and disrespecting Daryl Morey was just insane to me. Like, I really got to talk to the bosses about that. But what was your reaction to James Harden going to the Clippers?
Well, number one, I wasn't surprised that he got traded to the team he wanted, because I think if he gets traded to another team, he's not interested. He's not going to play. We've already seen that. He got his way with Brooklyn. He got his way with Philly. He got his way with the Clippers. I don't think the Sixers really had a choice, because there was really no teams that were, after hearing that he wanted to go to the Clippers, there was really no team that was interested in Harden. I do actually like James Harden in the regular season. I think he'll be good for the Clippers. I don't know how they'll run that lineup. I think I wouldn't be surprised if they have Harden and Harden starting and Westbrook coming off the bench. But we can get into that a little later. But I do think that really Daryl Morey had no choice. I mean, he had to trade him to the team he wanted because no team was willing to trade for him because he already had mentioned he was going to play for the Clippers and nobody else. So wasn't surprised. And I don't think Morey really had a choice of where to trade him because he wanted to go to the Clippers and that was it.
But see, that's the thing with me. When I look at it from Daryl Morey didn't have a choice, I'm looking at it from the package that he received. Like, I feel like Philadelphia won in this trade. Not that they got a specific player that equals the value of James Harden, but you were able to get him off your books. You were able to clear that type of energy from the locker room. You got some draft picks from LA. And, you know, you got a couple glue guys and guys like Covington and stuff like that that could play a role for, you know, this season. But when it comes to Philadelphia, bro, even if this stuff would have never happened with James Harden, I really feel like they wouldn't have had a chance to win a championship anyway. I think Philly is really in rebuild mode. They just don't want to really admit to it. Because coming down the pipeline, you better believe, even though they're starting off pretty well, I think they like 4-1 so far this season. But I promise you, JJ, Joel Embiid is going to demand a trade before, I project maybe before Christmas. I'm not sold that Philly is going to be successful overall now that James Harden is gone. And I think they're playing well now because it's a breath of fresh air. You got a new energy. So it's going well now. But, you know, I think Philly got a whole bunch of problems coming down the pipeline. As far as James Harden, you know, I think the thing that surprised me the most, JJ, is that guys like Damian Lillard, who was so loyal to Portland, he didn't get to go where he asked to be traded to. But you got a guy, James Harden, who was disrespectful, still got to go where he wanted to. But I think it's partially because of the package that the Clippers had for Philly. It was just the best one available. So I don't know, man. But I don't feel like James Harden in LA is going to be a big deal. Do you think that team could win a championship?
Well, I mean, I am a little biased. I'm a huge Kawhi Leonard fan, but I think right now, if the Clippers can just stay healthy, which is a big if, they've been injured the last 4 years, basically since that team was assembled. But if you remember, I guess it'd be 3 years now, in 2020/2021, they made the conference finals, Kawhi got hurt, and then of course they lost the Suns in 6 games. But again, if that team has shown us, if they can stay healthy, they can go far. Now, again, that's a big if. But I think what the Clippers are wanting to do is James Harden is better in the regular season. We know that. I think what they're wanting to do is they're wanting to go full James Harden in the regular season. And when it gets to the postseason, then they can rely more on Kawhi. They can rely more on PG. Again, I don't know what they're going to do with if they're going to start both Harden and Westbrook. I don't know if that would be a good idea because we saw in Houston that didn't work out great. But I could see them starting Harden and having Westbrook come off the bench. But then you also have to look at, does Westbrook want to come off the bench?
Their projected starting five is Russell Westbrook, James Harden, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, and what's his name? Ivan Zubiak or Zubac, whatever his name is. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's their projected starting five.
Yeah. I think what they would be better. And of course, I don't know if they're probably going to do what you just mentioned. They're going to start both Harden and Westbrook. I think if the Clippers want to have success, they should start Harden at the one. They'll probably put PG at the two, Kawhi at the three. Terrence Mann, once he comes back healthy, he'd be the four. And then Zubac at the five. I could see them. And then having Westbrook, Norman Powell, Mason Plumlee, those guys come off the bench. But it does seem like they're going to start Westbrook. And I think they'd have more success if they started Harden and had Westbrook come off the bench. But we'll see what they do. But I do think if they can stay healthy, which is a big if, this team can go pretty far. But as we saw on Wednesday night between the Lakers and Clippers, that was a pretty good game. And I think we could be seeing that, at least three more times this year. And I'd love to see these two teams in the postseason because we just haven't got that, unfortunately.
Did you see my man LeBron? Did you see my man LeBron James? Man, bro. I mean, you got Kawhi Leonard who had a good game. You got Paul George who had a good game that night. You got Anthony Davis who had a good game that night. and LeBron James at 39 years old in year 21 was the best player on the floor. I am just so overly impressed with LeBron. But I do got a couple questions for you about what you said about James Harden and the Clippers. Now, you said they should focus on letting James Harden off the leash for the regular season. Now, when you say that, are you talking scoring or facilitating?
I'm talking about more of scoring. Now,
okay.
Before, we saw last year when he was facilitating, he led the league in assists. At what? He almost averaged 11 assists per game last season. He played well. And then, of course, in the second half of the year in the postseason, they struggled and they got beat by Boston. But I think if you let Harden cook and get him in the regular season, this Clippers team can probably get to the 3 or 4 seed, because I don't know if anybody's better than Denver right now. They could get to like maybe the 3 seed and then have Kawhi and Paul George and even Russ come back in the postseason. Now, Russ was pretty good last year, but it was more of his defense that really helped the Clippers at least win a game last year against the Suns. But if you let Harden score, do his thing in the regular season, and then give it up to Kawhi and PG and have them do their thing in the postseason. So,
I like, if this was a video game, if this was 2K, I would be scared. As a Lakers fan, I would be concerned. I would have cause to pause, but this is real life. And I'm looking at a basketball team that has 4 ball dominant guys. None of these guys, at my soul, can play off the ball for a substantial amount of time. You have some of the most toxic personalities with Russell Westbrook and James Harden and the emotion of Paul George and Kawhi Leonard with this whole load management thing. Like, can Ty Lue really be able to control this? You know, people act like Ty Lue is such a proven great coach. Like, you got to remember, LeBron James quarterbacked the success of Ty Lue. Let's be honest. He didn't have to deal with these types of personalities in Cleveland that he has to deal right now under the bright lights of Los Angeles. It's do or die. And all of those guys, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, all the free agents in the summer. All free agents this summer. So it's literally do or die right now for the Clippers. And I just don't see at all how in the hell this is going to work, bro. It's just too many ball dominant guys. It's just, this doesn't make sense to me, bro. It really doesn't. But
In history, it has shown that this probably won't work. But with this whole situation with Harden, with Kawhi, with PG, with Westbrook, it's either going to go really good or it's going to go really bad.
Really,
I think the Clippers really had no choice, because this is, as you mentioned, Kawhi is a free agent if he opts out. I think PG is also a free agent. It's going to be interesting to see. I think Westbrook also has a player option, because I think it was a 2-year deal he signed. But
all four of them could possibly be gone this summer.
Mm-hmm. So it's either do or die, as you mentioned. I think it's going to either go really good and really bad. And the Clippers were like, you know what, we're just going to try something and see if it works. And if not, now they're in that new arena next year, which should be interesting, but we'll see what happens. It's either going to go really good or it's going to go really bad.
There's no doubt about it. So Wednesday night in overtime, my Lakers came back and knocked off of the Clippers. The Clippers had won 11 straight games versus the Los Angeles Lakers, but that streak was snapped earlier this week as the Lakers won 130 to 125 in overtime. LeBron James had 35 points, 11 rebounds in that game. I do want to talk a little bit, though, specifically when we talk about the Clippers and the Lakers, I want to talk about the relationship or the lack of relationship between Russell Westbrook and LeBron James. So I don't know if you've really been peeping what the hell's been going on. And I respect anybody who doesn't be fake and phony, but did you see how Russell Westbrook stood away from LeBron at the beginning of their game when LeBron was showing love and shaking everybody in the Clippers' hand for the pregame before the game started? Did you get a chance to see that footage?
Actually, I didn't get to see that. This is kind of the first time I heard about that, but I think right now with Westbrook and LeBron, I think they're still kind of, you know, they're still kind of, I think Westbrook still has a thing for against LeBron because of what happened. I actually didn't see that, but I still think there's probably a little bit of a rivalry between maybe Westbrook and LeBron. I just think that Westbrook's probably still ticked off of what happened with the Lakers, and that was definitely not his best tenure, but I'm not really surprised that that happened between Westbrook and LeBron.
In hindsight, when you look at what happened, like who do you feel like slighted who the most? Do you feel like LeBron disappointed Russell more or Russell disappointed LeBron more? Like, who should be madder in that relationship?
Well, I do remember when they made the move for Russell Westbrook. I didn't really think it was a great fit, but at the time the Lakers needed a point guard and Westbrook had a pretty good year with the Wizards. He kind of had an underrated year. I remember that was 2020/2021 or something like that. I think the Lakers were expecting the prime MVP Westbrook, and Westbrook was well beyond that. And Westbrook is still a good player, but he's not what he was in OKC. And I think, in a way, probably Westbrook disappointed the Lakers a little more, but I just don't think he was a good fit with the Lakers when he was traded, because I think the Lakers needed another shooter, and Westbrook isn't really much of a shooter. He's more of a slasher, and I just don't think that was what the Lakers needed at the time.
See, and Kane's just said it just now, but this is what I was going to ask. I really want to know specifically what Russell Westbrook's beef with LeBron James is. Like, what is he so mad at when it comes to LeBron? Does he feel like LeBron didn't fight for him long enough? Did he feel like LeBron James was behind the scenes trying to get rid of him? Like, what is his issue with LBJ? Because LBJ is really the reason that he got to play back home. And, you know, you got to take that in consideration. But I don't know what the issue is with Russell Westbrook and LeBron. I will say, in my opinion, I think Russell disappointed LeBron more just because, like you said, man, that season you had James Harden, Kyrie Irving, and, you know, Kevin Durant, Lincoln, and Brooklyn. The Lakers, as constructed, had no chance of competing with a team like that. So you had to have someone, you know, to join LeBron and AD. And here you go with a guy who's a former MVP. You're right. It really didn't make sense initially, but you couldn't pass up on it. You had to take a chance with it. And Russell just did not play well. He was a heavy, big-time mistake maker. LeBron James was a mistake maker in that period as well. But you can't really blame LeBron for what happened in Los Angeles once the chips start falling. It really was nothing that could be done because we were witnessing your basketball play with our own eyes. And it wasn't good. And he did buy into coming off the bench and playing a new role when Darvin Ham came in. But you can't expect LeBron to continue to fight for this. LeBron is going into year 21. It's win now for LeBron. I know Russell wants to win now, but you have to minimize your mistakes. And Russell Westbrook just was not doing that. And now he's with the Clippers. And I saw a reporter asked him, JJ, yesterday, what is the difference between, you know, why he is so happy now, it seems, now that he's with the Clippers versus being with the Lakers. And he was just talking about just feeling wanted and stuff like that. And I'm just kind of blown away because I'm like, the Clippers are going to treat you the same way once this thing go bad. Like, don't get it twisted. You want to take shots at the Lakers now, but you're part of the reason why you are not no longer in the purple and gold uniform. And now you're riding the coattail because you're with your guys. But once this thing go left, you're going to be the scapegoat. You will be the first one out of that four that they either bench or release or trade. It is what it is. So it's just crazy to me, the gripe that Russell Westbrook has with LeBron. And I swear, bro, I'm not trying to make it seem like LeBron is perfect or an angel. I just want to know, what is his beef with LeBron? What does he feel like LeBron could have done or should have done to make the situation better for him, because he wasn't even going to be able to play in his hometown if it wasn't for LeBron. So, You know, I really don't know what's up with Russell Westbrook and his issue with LeBron James, but as far as the two teams, JJ, do you think that dominance is completely over? I know the Lakers just snapped the winning streak, but it was 11 games. it was 11 games. Do you think that that dominance is over? We'll see more balanced basketball wins between the two teams moving forward?
I don't know if there was necessarily really a dominance, because both the Lakers and Clippers are pretty good right now is what we're seeing. I mean, they had won 11 straight. But the thing about this whole thing is we really haven't seen enough of LeBron versus Kawhi. I think when he came to the Clippers and when LeBron went to the Lakers, it seems like the injuries have always been kind of the problem. When Kawhi plays, LeBron's out. When LeBron plays, or when LeBron plays, Kawhi's out. So I don't know if there was necessarily a dominance. I do think there's a little more balance, but I honestly think the Clippers still have the edge on the Lakers in the regular season. But again, we still haven't seen the postseason yet. We still haven't seen them squared off, and I would really like to see that. I don't know if we'll see that this year, but I don't know if there's really a dominance, but I do think the Clippers still have the edge a little bit on the Lakers at the moment. So,
JJ, what's your thoughts on the Memphis Grizzlies? They lost Ja Morant. He's currently suspended. They are now the only winless team in the NBA. This is a team that has been projected to be one of the more uprising teams in the NBA. They now have Marcus Smart, but they have yet to win a game, and Ja Morant is still suspended. What's your reaction to Memphis struggling so early in the season?
Well, I think, I mean, you just mentioned it, no Ja Morant. They also don't have Steven Adams. They also don't have Brandon Clark. Injuries have been a huge factor for the Grizzlies. I just think without Ja Morant, the Grizzlies aren't as good. I mean, he's suspended for another 19 more games, because right now I'm looking at the Grizzlies, they're 0-6. I just think without Ja Morant, this team isn't the same. Now, I think they won a playoff game last year without Morant, but I still think without Ja Morant, this team isn't as good. And I think at the same time, I mean, you also play in a Western Conference that's just completely stacked. So the Grizzlies, just once they get Ja Morant, they need to go all in, because right now it seems like, even though it's very early in the season, they need Ja Morant to come back, because if they don't have Morant, or if he's not as good as he was the previous years, they're in trouble, because, I mean, the Western Conference is just loaded.
I think, you know, karma is a B-I-T-C-H. And if you ask me, Memphis is getting a ton of it. They were so pressed. They were so gung-ho last season on penalizing Ja Morant. They were laying down penalties on Ja Morant before the NBA even did investigations. They were so quick to try to appease public relations and get ahead of stories and making their face of the league look bad. And they won some games without Ja Morant. But now they are definitely feeling it. And I thought bringing in Marcus Smart, you know, I thought that the Memphis Grizzlies was going to have a story of two seasons. I thought they were going to have a little bit of early success. They got rid of Dylan Brooks, so I thought that immaturity was gone. I thought, you know, you have a defensive player of the year in Jaren Jackson Jr., and I'm thinking that these guys were going to play decent for the start. Once Ja Morant came back, how were they going to adjust to his return? So I thought it was going to be a story of two seasons from that standpoint for the Memphis Grizzlies. I did not expect them to start off 0-5. To start this season off, and they don't even, these are not even games to me that gives me like, okay, they still are competing. These are close losses. They just don't look good at all. Like, they are far, far away from that team we've seen threatening Golden State in the past, or the team that was in the playoffs. So I'm just totally shocked at the demise of the Memphis Grizzlies, and I don't think it's going to get any better because Ja Morant comes back, because Ja Morant got to feel like this team stabbed him in his back. I don't know how long he would want to stay in Memphis. That's going to be another story we're going to talk about coming down the pipeline, and then I'm expecting in the next month, couple months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, without Morant, the Grizzlies just aren't the same. And I think the last 2 years they might have peaked a little bit, but I mean, just to see him, I don't think anybody saw him without a win by now. They're what, 0-5, 0-6, which again is very shocking to see. And I think it's just been, again, without Morant, losing Steven Adams was pretty significant, but not as much as Ja Morant. And I think without your star player, you're not going to be the same, especially in a loaded Western Conference.
Last thing for you, JJ, before we get up out of here, brother. Best in the West, beast in the East. Right now, it's only a small handful of games. I know this, but when you look at what we've witnessed so far, who is the best team in the Western Conference, in your opinion? And who is the best team in the Eastern Conference right now, in your opinion?
Well, let's start with the Eastern Conference, because I think there's a little more parity in that conference. Right now, Boston is undefeated. Yep. Philly's playing pretty well, but I do think Philly will fall off just a bit. I don't know if I really can trust Atlanta. So right now, I would say Boston, but Milwaukee's kind of off to a slow start. But we've only seen, again, as you mentioned, a handful of games. I think at the end of the day, it's probably going to be Milwaukee and Boston. And the last few years, we've thought that Boston could take that next step, and it just seems like they haven't. And at the end of the day, I do like Milwaukee, but right now I'm just going to go ahead and say Boston.
But with Milwaukee, let me ask you this before you go to the next conference. What is it that impresses you the most about Milwaukee? Because I don't think it's going to work.
Well, I mean, number one, you have Giannis, a two-time MVP. You also brought in Damian Lillard. I know there was a lot of Bucks fans that liked it, but they weren't a fan of losing Jrue Holiday. And I understand Holiday is a better defender than Lillard, but Lillard for once actually gets to be on, I shouldn't say for once, because he had some decent teams with Portland, but he now gets to be on a team that is really good. Now he's not going to be the focal point. It's definitely still going to be Giannis. But I think when you got like Giannis, you got Lillard, you have Middleton, Lopez is a good player. All those players, it's just going to be, I think eventually it will work. And I think Boston's going to make it, going to win the whole thing in the East. I know it's very early, but I just like Milwaukee is just so good right now. You got Lillard, Giannis, and I think for once, Lillard can be on a really good team, and he doesn't necessarily have to, you know, play a really good game just to win. So I just like Milwaukee.
I don't know, man. I gotta see it. You know, we're dealing with variables that's unseen before. Mm-hmm. Giannis have never played with the guy of Damian Lillard's caliber. Mm-hmm. And Giannis has already won. Damian Lillard has never played with someone of Giannis's caliber. And Damian hasn't won, but Damian is in his prime. And Damian Lillard feels like he's the best point guard right now. I know he'll say whatever he wants to say in the media when it comes to these interviews. I am not sold, JJ, that Damian Lillard is willing to play Robin for 82 games in Milwaukee. And you can sit up there and tell me, well, Giannis already admitted that he will defer to Damian Lillard. I think all of that is tongue-in-cheek. Giannis, even though he says he doesn't want to be a face of the league, Giannis is a superstar in the NBA who really haven't even reached his prime yet. Mm-hmm. You're not going to have somebody of that caliber, of that stature, deferring to someone for a substantial amount, especially deferring to someone who hasn't won a championship yet. Mm-hmm. So I think they are saying all the right things in the media right now, but I'm not sold that Damian Lillard is going to want to be Robin, or that these guys are not going to have any type of confusion or friction once we get 50, 60, 70 games in about who's going to end these games. And then you're dealing with a first-year head coach that's unproven. You know, your third wheel in Chris Middleton, he's injury-prone even though he's an all-star. You know, you lost a lot of defensive presence in Jrue Holiday that you're not going to get from Damian Lillard, even though on the flip side, you can't get the offensive firepower from Jrue that you get from Dame. Dame had the game winner last night. So it worked out well in certain aspects, but you look at the other night, Dame had a horrible first half, like 0 points. He couldn't hit anything. So, mm-hmm. You know, it's just going to be a roller coaster ride. I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk just because of the names on the jersey, bro. Chemistry, I think, means a lot. And that's the biggest thing with me when it comes to Milwaukee. I too feel like Boston right now might be the beast in the East. If Atlanta could get a big man, bro, I would like Atlanta. Mm-hmm. But that's my thoughts on the East. What about the Western Conference? Who do you feel like is the best in the West, JJ?
Well, the West is loaded. And I was for the most part, I was somewhat impressed by how Dallas has performed this year. A lot of people didn't expect Dallas to be this good, but again, we've only seen a handful of games. But right now, it's going to be hard for anybody to beat Denver. They are just so good right now. You got Jokic. Jamal Murray's playing well. I think Jamal Murray will finally make an all-star game this year and make an all-star team. Even Michael Porter's playing well. So I don't know if anybody really at the moment can really hang with Denver. And I mean, Jokic is the best player. I mean, for a while, I didn't think he was, but after that performance in the finals and after the performance so far this year, I think right now it's going to be hard for any team in the West to beat Denver. So,
I would have agreed with you, bro, until last night. And I hate to say it because I am a Lakers fan. But you said it at the beginning of the show. Golden State, to me, is the best team in the Western Conference, bro. I'm sorry. Right now, today, I'm putting Golden State over the Denver Nuggets. I really am. I know they got identical records right now, but I feel like if they had to face each other right now in a seven-game series, the way they are playing right now, Steph, Clay, Steve Kerr, Chris Paul, Jonathan Kuminga, it's just, I think they would give Denver a serious run for their money and their experience. I'm sorry, bro. I think Golden State right now is the best team in the Western Conference, even above the defending champions.
Yeah. Well, Golden State is pretty good right now. And I think, too, I mean, I was hearing yesterday Draymond Green talk about the chemistry. It's a lot better than it was this year than it was last year.
And, sure.
I mean, do
you
think
they had Jordan Poole on the roster? They was fighting and all that.
Yeah. Do you think the loss of Jordan Poole is better for the Warriors or just trading him off?
Me, honestly, personally, you know, it was a move that had to be done. Mm-hmm. But Golden State, like, I'm always of the thought that Draymond Green is the real problem in Golden State. I know they're not looking to get rid of him at all, and people can sit up there and preach to the choir on how valuable and how he's the heart of that team. But I honestly feel like Golden State lost out on one to two more rings because of this guy alone. Alienating Kevin Durant, alienating Jordan Poole. Like, this guy has caused some success to the Golden State Warriors. And he did. Jordan Poole and them did win a championship. But, you know, I'm feeling like Draymond Green is really the problem at the end of the day. But the Jordan Poole move, it was just something that they had to do.
Yeah, I mean, they got Chris Paul, and he's looking pretty good right now. I'm still a little shocked to see Chris Paul in a Warriors uniform. I never thought I would see that, especially during his Clipper days.
But it's working because he's winning. But if they start losing, I'm watching Chris Paul. I want to know if he's going to start complaining, if he's going to feel like he could play more of a role. It's going to be interesting to see, because Klay Thompson is playing pretty good. He had the game winner the other night, so. Mm-hmm. Steph had the game winner last night. Klay had the game winner the other night. Those guys are gelling. Those guys are playing well. Right now, they are 5-1, tied with Denver for the best record in the Western Conference. So, yeah, Golden State right now looking good to me right now.
Yeah, I can't disagree. I mean, a 4-1 record, looking pretty good right now. I mean,
5-1 now. 5-1 now.
Yeah, you're right. I forgot about that. So, I wouldn't be surprised, but it's going to be fun to see Golden State and Denver play, because I don't think they've played. Yeah, they haven't played yet. I can't wait to see that matchup.
It's going to be a good one, man. I'm so excited about this upcoming NBA season, man. It's going to be exciting. We got some great basketball so far, so I expect to see much more. But we are about to sign off here at the Best of Seven, man. I got my guy JJ Peters again from Sportstown joining me. Make sure y'all follow him everywhere on social media, man. And if you guys are new to this channel, you can scan the QR code, smash that like button on the video, subscribe to the channel. And if you enjoy daily content and if you would like to support the Best of Seven, join our membership here on our YouTube channel. We got exclusive videos and contents that only members get to see. We also have perks, prizes, merchandise, discount. We got a lot going on for our members, so join the membership. JJ, brother, I appreciate you again for joining me this afternoon. You got any final thoughts before we sign off, family?
Nope. Pretty much the only thing I can say is it's been fun to watch the NBA so far, and it's going to be a fun season, that's for sure.
Man, I want to have I really want to do this maybe All-Star time during the All-Star break, but you know, everyone that's in our group chat that we have, I really want to get all you fellas together and let's have a round table show or some type of panel show. So hopefully we can put that together in the next coming months and we can all get together and do some shows.
All right, I'm definitely down. Can't wait. And just whenever you can, just let me know.
I'll let you know. All right, people, y'all stay safe. Enjoy this weekend. I am Seven Mitchell with the Best of Seven Sports Talk. Just a quick reminder, I am live tomorrow on the Players' Choice channel with another episode of Lakerland. We're live at 1 p.m. Eastern. So make sure y'all go over to Players' Choice and join us tomorrow for our two-hour show. Subscribe again to this channel, Best of Seven Sports Talk. Follow my brother JJ Peters on all social media outlets at SportsTown. And I am out. Everybody, y'all stay safe. Appreciate you guys for joining us. And we are out. Peace. All right, man. I want to thank you guys for listening into another episode of the Best of Seven Sports Talk. I'm Seven Mitchell, man. Make sure you follow the show to be sure to be notified about the next episode. Also, I'll put the Linktree link in the description so you can follow us on social media as well as donate and contribute to our platform. See you guys again on the next episode. Peace.